It feels like summer weather has arrived with a vengeance, and the heat, coupled with months of dry weather, poses a threat we're all too familiar with here in Southern California. Brush fires.
Evacuate your home and get to safety.
Add in the danger of illegal fireworks and of fires started by unhoused citizens, and we could have an ugly start to fire season. As officials remind us, the problem is
a public safety issue, not a homelessness issue.
But even as the threat mounts month after month, our local fire departments and the State Department of Emergency Services come up with new strategies to keep us safe.
For the first time in history, dropping large volumes of fire retardant at night will be possible.
But the most vital element in all of this planning is the most unpredictable, the human element.
Recognize that over 90% of wildfires are created by humans.
We look at the game plan to keep wildfires at bay during a hot, dry summer as Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. The blast furnace of our hot weather has arrived, and it has residents of brushy areas looking over their shoulders, really, as they do every fire season. We all know here in Southern California, it's only a matter of time before we see that orange glow and a plume of smoke against the sky. But it's the job of the state's Office of Emergency Services to get out ahead of any of those crises. As in years past, they're thinking ahead and making plans to protect us. Let's bring in Brian Ferguson. He's the Deputy Director of Crisis Communications for the California Office of Emergency Services. Thanks so much for being with us. Good to see you again. And here we are, brush fire season.
Here we are, hot. Dry, and it's important now to be ready, and happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, you know, being ready means an awful lot of things, and part of what we want to do is talk about that, but we also want to talk about what's new, because we know every year what firefighters are trying to do is to get ahead of that fire, use new technology, get bigger and better helicopters that can drop retardant and water on these things. The Air Force is always a big part of the fire battle. And so what is new this year that the state is trying to roll out?
Yeah, so we've made critical investments in hundreds of new fire engines, both at the state level and then at Cal OES. What we do is we coordinate closely with our local fire department officials. In part, we purchase fire trucks and sign what we call mutual aid agreements. So they may not have the resources to purchase their own trucks, but we give them a truck with the idea that when help is needed, they'll respond as part of our state mutual aid effort. And, you know, we're lucky here in California that we have the finest firefighters in all the world, but we're constantly in a struggle here to keep up with the changing environment and the changing human conditions, as you mentioned there in your open. We also are investing heavily in new technology to be able to more rapidly track fires, to understand where they are, to respond to them quickly and put them out before they get large, particularly important in large urban areas like Los Angeles. And, you know, the other thing that we are always trying to solve for is the human condition. How can we coordinate and talk with one another? How can we respond more uniformly across our state? Fires don't care where the resources are. They're often in areas that are away from where our population centers are, where our firefighters live, which is why it's so important that we coordinate across the state. You'll often see firefighters from Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, up in the north part of the state, and vice versa. And that mutual aid effort is one of the things that we are trying to emphasize this year, in addition to the hundreds of new fire trucks we're putting on the road, new helicopters, new fixed-wing aircraft, and then the new technology to be able to track in real time and understand that perimeter of the fire as it develops so we can get people out and keep them safe.
You've positioned some trucks in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, just this week we're already doing pre-positioning. We have trucks, we call them a strike team, so that's often 5 to 6 trucks, a commander, to have them out in the field and ready before a fire hits, so there's no startup time. We have just today pre-positioned trucks in Orange County, Los Angeles County, and Santa Barbara County in advance of the hot weather and some of the wind conditions we're seeing. And that's something you'll see every time throughout the year as we go forward, that we're trying to get in front of the fire so we can react quickly and put them out.
You talked about putting fireplaces and locations, 6 of them here in the Los Angeles area. Are they a little different, the configuration of these vehicles?
Correct. You know, one of the things we've tried to emphasize in recent years is rapid attack fire engines that can get in and out of, tight areas where you may see a traditional city fire truck, which are hugely important in our day-to-day efforts in the city, but having a smaller, lighter, faster truck to be able to get in more quickly and get on a fire, something we've emphasized. We purchased several hundred of these at the state level that we're deploying to our local government partners. In addition to finding other ways to support those partners, whether it be financial, technological, or other means. We had over 12,000 calls for mutual aid last year. It's the most the state's ever had in its history. So one of the things we want to be on top of is ensuring that we have the equipment we need and we understand where the resources are so they can move quickly and keep people safe.
Now, we're talking, obviously, about our area here, Southern California, mm-hmm. but you cover the whole state. And we know that Northern California has gotten nailed with some really, really awful fires. What's it looking like up there? What's your sort of thinking about what it's going to be like down here?
So, we are already seeing fire conditions this time of year of what we would see in the late summer or early fall. Part of that is because it's been such a dry winter in most parts of the state that our fuels are already in the kind of conditions that we see later in the year. Kind of accompany that with just the lack of precipitation, the lack of residual moisture in the air. We are already in a very dangerous time, and that's statewide. I think we're expecting to see temperatures this weekend that could cross 120 degrees in some inland parts of Southern California. You accompany that with any amount of wind and then an ignition source, which, as we know, most often comes from human behavior, and off you go on a fire. And in particular, as we reopen from COVID, we're trying to keep an eye on, we understand people want to get out, recreate, be in the wider world, but that's also something that will be new and different this year that we're going to have to solve for, is the desire for the public to get out and get back to everyday life.
Brian, we have just a little less than a minute. I'm going to ask you a real tough question here.
Sure.
Because I know you probably hate to go out on this limb, but give us what your thinking is right now. If you were looking into a crystal ball, what do you think this fire season is going to be like?
We think it's going to be rough, and no bones about it. We think Californians should be prepared. Taking those steps now, we'd encourage you all to have a go bag, sign up for alerts in your community. We hope we don't have to respond to your neighbors. We hope we don't have to get out there or set up evacuation shelters. But, history has told us that we've seen worse and worse fires in recent years. The hots are getting hotter, the dries are getting drier. So it's really the time now, before we start burning, to take the steps, both for us as law enforcement and fire agencies, and for local communities, to take those individual preparedness actions that can protect yourself, protect your family in the event a fire occurs.
All right. Very good. Brian Ferguson, thanks so much. Good to see you again. Appreciate
Thank
your time.
Thank you so much.
And
Thank you.
When we come back on Fox 11 News in Depth, we're going to be talking more about fires. We're going to take a look at the great wet hope that fire agencies hope will be a game changer in fighting wildfires. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we just looked at some of the engines that are being deployed to protect wildland areas, but aerial attacks on fires, just as important, if not more. This week, we got a peek at some new equipment that could make a big difference in a firefight. Well, here to talk about that is one who really knows about that stuff, Chief Brian Fennessy from the Orange County Fire Department. You introduced these choppers with a great deal of pride. Talk to us about that. Tell us what these new choppers mean to your department, to the people of Orange County.
Well, thank you, Hal. It's a pleasure to be here. I mean, really, in our business, especially now, given the fires and the spreads we're seeing, it's really all about speed and force. It's always been the same. We've got to get after these fires very quickly to keep them from being small, damaging, life-threatening fires. By getting onto them quickly with aircraft, and aircraft that drop large capacities of water, we're able to keep these fires, very small, very early, so that our ground crews can get in there and really put the finishing touches on these fires before they become large and damaging.
These new choppers that you introduced, what can they do that your other equipment in the Air Force can't do?
It's pretty incredible. We and most agencies that operate aircraft, have been dropping about 350 gallons, from our tanks, our helicopter tanks, for many, many years. About 20 years ago, the Los Angeles County Fire Department bought Sikorsky Fire Hawks. They drop 1,000 gallons. These Chinooks drop 3,000 gallons. That is a massive load of water or retardant, whatever you choose to drop. And that is some serious stopping power.
Yeah, that is powerful. And I'll tell you, as one who's seen a lot of firefighting in the decades I've been here, those helicopters and the DC-10s and all of that equipment is really critical to getting into the areas and the mountains and the hillsides that the firefighters can't get to right away. I want to ask you about nighttime retardant. Can you talk about that with these new Chinooks?
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I shared at the press conference on the 14th on Monday that this really is a new generation for aerial firefighting. You know, as it stands today, you know, we see our large and small fixed wing air tankers. They'll drop the pink retardant all day long, retardant in advance of the fire. Hence, you know, when the fire gets there, it retards. But once it becomes dark, those fixed wing air tankers fly away. We now have the ability, because these aircraft are staffed, you know, 724, they operate night vision goggles. We're hauling with us, you know, a fire retardant plant, a mobile plant, a base, setting up in close proximity to the fire. We can continue to treat and apply fire retardant all night long. And quite frankly, given the capacity that these aircraft have and the very quick turnaround times, they don't need to go back to an airport, you could put likely more retardant around a fire than you could with fixed wing air tankers during the day.
Well, why is it taking so long? I mean, we've had years and years of fires. We've had aircraft around for a long time. Why has it taken this long to get this kind of equipment in your department and into the air?
Well, you know, we began flying at night back in the early 2000s. L.A. County restarted their program back in 2000. San Diego in 2003, 2004, and Orange County shortly thereafter. So we've been operating our agency multi-use aircraft, multi-mission for many, many years. We go out at night during the winter and driving rain, and we drop, you know, whether it's water or rescuers, we do it year round. However, the big difference is these large capacity helitankers and these very large helitankers. These crews that staff these are former military. They've got an immense amount of night vision goggle time in war theater training, those sorts of things. And so really, I like to say it's not new innovation or technology. It's existed for a long time. It's really just a matter of putting what exists now into use. And I think, again, as I shared, this is the future. You're going to see a lot more of this in the future.
Let's see if I can get a couple of more quick questions in the couple of minutes that we've got. One is Southern California Edison is providing a lot of funding for this. Quick answer, how are they doing that? Why?
Well, you know, they have the wildfire mitigation plan that they submit every year. And in that plan, you can go to the PUC and they submit this. It's a public document. And they share all of the things they're doing to prevent fires, to assist local government, those sorts of things. And so, you know, really it's a matter of providing us some tools to help back with the community. We talk a lot about the national cohesive strategy. And that's where we are today. We live with fire. It's not just the firefighter's job anymore. It's the utilities. It's the community. It's the developers. It's you communicating like you are today. It's a team effort. It's no longer just on the fire departments here in the West.
The Office of Emergency Services has just told us in this program they expect a pretty rough fire season. What are you expecting?
Yeah, we're expecting to be pretty tough. This time of year compared to last year, which was the worst fire season in California in history. Kind of in comparison, the last worst season was 1.9 million acres lost. Last year, 4.3 million acres. That's unheard of. And it's drier today than it was a year ago. Lightning was a big source of ignition last year, I believe it was August 15th. And once we had so many fires throughout the state, we just, you know, there aren't enough firefighters, fire engines, fire helicopters to deal with those. So we're crossing our fingers that we don't have the ignitions that we did last year. But if we do, hold on, we're in for quite a long rest of the year for sure.
Fasten your seatbelts is what I'm hearing. Okay, fingers are crossed. Chief, thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we look at some of the special challenges we have to deal with within the brushy areas of Los Angeles and how the LA City Fire Department is preparing for what could be, as we've been hearing, a tough fire season. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. While the city of Los Angeles is not necessarily the first place we think of when we think of wildfires, there are acres and acres of dry, brushy areas across this city. Just think about the Sepulveda Basin, Griffith Park, the Hollywood Hills, all areas where the risk of brush fires is compounded by the proximity to populated areas. Joining us to talk about all of this is LA City Fire Captain Eric Scott. We've been talking a little bit about the precautions, and we want to talk to you about that as well and many other things. So, first of all, let's start off with that notion of precautions. What is the fire department doing? I know this week you had a very unique drill that you only do once a year, and the purpose of that drill and the kinds of things you're doing to get ready for fire season.
Sure, and Hal, you were there with us yesterday, so you know firsthand, but we are absolutely leaning forward for this year's fire season. As we went to yesterday was a three-day event that was a multiple agencies that we brought together in what we call a mutual threat zone. So that's an area of ground to where it could burn multiple different fire departments and jurisdictions. And we brought everyone together to ensure that we have proper interoperability, to really try to maximize our similarities, to minimize our differences. And the unique part of that drill is the brush was actually in LA County Fire Department's jurisdiction. The homes that were just nearby that could be threatened are LA City. And then if it crossed over a ridgeline, which is not uncommon at all, it burns into Angeles National Forest. So we have to make sure our helicopter communications are working together, our boots on the ground, and the way that we use a progressive hose line going up the hillside, that we could connect all of our hoses together, et cetera. And here you see them slinging simple dirts of shovel onto a flame to show how easy it is with even not using water to suppress fire.
With dirt and just whatever you can to pound on top of those flames. Now, you know, we often see these fires starting in like homeless encampments where the unhoused population lives. And so how much of a challenge is that for you and your firefighters?
To be honest, it's a continuing a challenge. You know, we saw that in 2017 in the Skirball fire that burned 400 acres, destroyed six homes, damaged 12 others. Well, right afterwards, Mayor Garcetti and Fire Chief Terrazas took proactive efforts. They started to do a survey of all the homeless encampments throughout Los Angeles that were next to wildfire to really do two things. Our fold is to identify and notify. We need to identify where those homeless encampments are and notify the property owners so they could take proper efforts. And a lot of different city agencies come together when it's enforcement. But, you know, even the most recent fire we had in Pacific Palisades just a month ago, that was started by an arsonist who was a homeless individual. However, all agencies came together so hard and fast that we were able to detain that individual in just 36 hours. So we do take this very seriously and taking every effort we can to mitigate those problems.
Is it true that the majority of the fires we have in our area are started by homeless encampment people in those areas?
We're continually tracking that data, and it's a little subjective. You know, we have to have firefighters hit the right buttons when we're recording everything. But right now, the data shows 24 fires a day in the city of Los Angeles are with persons experiencing homelessness, and that equates to 54% of our overall fires. So, yes, it's a challenge, but the fire department deals with challenges all the time. And we always try to come up with new ways to work with those. And so you're looking at a homeless encampment there on your screen. We've proactively put unique resources and diverted them into those areas where there's a lot of persons experiencing homelessness, like what we call a fast response vehicle. And it's a paramedic vehicle, but it's got a small water tank, 150 gallons, that could extinguish a small fire quick. But we also get out of that vehicle and we talk to the homeless individuals and we express to them the concerns and what we're seeing with cooking fires and the tents, and we try to do everything we can to minimize the impact.
There's so many things I want to talk to you about. Let's see if we can tick off some short answers. First of all, illegal fireworks. We're in June. July 4th is coming. We know what happens. We know what happens. So how much of a problem is this potentially going to be, and how are you bracing for it?
Yeah, it's a difficult challenge. We see this every year. You know, the city of Los Angeles has determined all fireworks, even the so-called safe and sane, to be illegal. Obviously, with the increased heat and the wildfire danger, that's another problem. We understand, though. We understand people want to celebrate. We understand that historically fireworks are a part of that. But we see a whole other side that the general public does not see. We see the fires and we see the injuries. And it's really kids, pets, and vets. You know, seeing the kids get the fingers blow off and the eye injuries, seeing the pets that are all running away from the loud sounds. And those are some people's family members. And the veterans, they feel like they get the PTSD from being in a war zone like you're seeing there.
And the dogs and other critters just go haywire. But another thing I think is important to ask you about, we're seeing personnel shortages in all kinds of businesses right now. What about LAFD? Do you have shortages, or is that a threat to your department? And are you open to new employees? You have job opportunities for people?
You know, it's a concern. The COVID pandemic stressed cities fiscally. Los Angeles was not immune to that. However, we expect, I think, filing to open back up for new recruits in 2022. So we certainly appreciate Mayor Garcetti's support and understanding of the needs for fire suppression and emergency medical services. But all that information is available online, too. You just go to joinlafd.org.
And on that note, Captain Eric Scott, as always, so good to see you. Thanks so much. Be safe out there.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
All right. Very good. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this. And finally, if you haven't already, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and you can get it wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. There's one method of slowing down wildfires we haven't discussed. It's an idea that a USC assistant professor of computer science has proposed, and you're looking at it. Imagine small banana orchards scattered around neighborhoods to halt the spread of fires. It's not as crazy as it might sound, since banana trees don't contain wood. They're almost completely non-flammable. Plus, these fire breaks are edible. Is the idea bananas? Who's to say? That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us for Fox 11 News in Depth. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.